about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Hello everyone, welcome to another week of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. It's funny how things change in an instant. I had a whole mock-up of a great show, a paranormal show that I was going to do for this weekend. It's going to start off Halloween month here at the Paranormal Patriot, but things happen. Things happen, and they happen quickly in the world today, and I think you know what we're talking about. Donald Trump has contracted the coronavirus. So it would be doing every one of my listeners a disservice by not talking about it. I have to talk about it. I have to give you my thoughts. There's a lot of conspiracy theories going on right now about this contraction of the coronavirus. And there's a lot of unsubstantiated and mixed news on how bad or how well he's doing. So is he really doing well? Is he not doing well? We're going to get to the bottom of that. And then there's also news coming out of my state, Michigan, that's going to affect every state in this union. The Supreme Court has ruled that the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, they ruled, and I will quote, that she grossly overstepped her authority. And they just basically wiped out the executive orders that the, what, 100, almost 200 of them now. They're wiped out. Michigan is a free state again. We're going to talk about that because there's some things going on there that are just absolutely ridiculous. And this is what we, in the conservative side here in the state of Michigan, this is why we were totally against what Whitmer was doing. We'll get into that because it makes complete sense. Everybody was saying, oh, you just don't care. All you think about is yourself. And no, that's not the case. Her reaction to the ruling is what I'm going to talk about a lot of. Because her reaction, it proved a ton of different points that all of us in Open Up Michigan, you know, the Whitmer recall vote, everybody was saying the same thing and everybody thought we were lunatics. Well, she just proved it, and we'll get into that in a minute here. But we're going to start with, obviously, the elephant in the room. Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have contracted the coronavirus. So now, I think it was last Thursday that he tweeted out that he had the coronavirus. And the events that followed really struck me as odd, and it almost brought back a sense of deja vu. Because if you look back and go back to the show where I talked about Donald Trump having his coronavirus press conference in March, right after that, everything just went upside down. Not even 2 minutes after the end of that speech, a basketball player in the NBA for the Utah Jazz came out and said he has the coronavirus. Then all of a sudden, everything starts to shut down. Basketball starts to shut down. Baseball stops training camp. A little bit after that, hockey shut its season down. It was a snowball effect, and it was almost like, okay, Trump does this press conference to try and ease the fears of America, so the media and the elites then say, okay, let the dogs loose. And what they did is they said, I have coronavirus, I have coronavirus. Put it in the mainstream. It's not just random people or people on a cruise liner that are quarantined over in Japan, in the Pacific, that have coronavirus. Now, these are the athletes we adore. So therefore, that makes it now, because athletes and Hollywood elites are getting this, now it makes it relevant. And it was almost like it was planned that whenever Trump comes out to try to ease the fears of the Americans, that's when we release this. And we can prove to the American people that his response was a joke. Well, it happened again. And I don't understand this, but Trump came out on Thursday and he tweeted that himself and the First Lady have tested positive for the coronavirus. And after that, it was just like, hey, this Republican has coronavirus. This person has coronavirus. This person has coronavirus. Chris Christie has coronavirus. It's weird. It makes no sense that why all of a sudden, now that Donald Trump has the coronavirus, why is it now time for all of these people to come out and say, hey, I contracted it? Now, it could be. Now, in the case of Chris Christie, he helped Donald Trump prep for the debate. But the question remains, that debate was, what, a week and a half ago, maybe? I mean, if Trump had it then, how long had he had it and didn't know it? Or did he get it from Chris Christie? And if that's the case, why is it just coming out now that Chris Christie has been hospitalized with the coronavirus? It's reminiscent of that March night when I'm like, what is going on here? Trump comes on after he says goodbye. The world turns upside down. And now it seems as if the political world turns upside down. Now, a lot of people say, hey, Tom, Donald Trump does not have the coronavirus. This is just a ruse. This is just a political stunt. You know, I don't know. You know, you're getting conflicting reports. Now, when it was first released, he was asymptomatic, and Melania had mild symptoms. But then all of a sudden, you hear that he's being flown to Walter Reed Hospital to combat the coronavirus. And then, let me pull up the tweet here. A tweet by, I believe it was Sarah Cook. Here it is. A tweet by Sarah Cook, who I have no idea who Sarah Cook is. But the tweet from Saturday. Breaking. The president's vitals over the last 24 hours were very concerning, and the next 48 hours will be critical in terms of his care. We are still not on the clear path to a full recovery. Now, she said that is a source familiar with the president's health that he said to pool reporters. So I'm looking at this going, all right, what's going on? I'm hearing that the president is asymptomatic. And then I hear he's going to Walter Reed. And then I hear from an unsubstantiated source, which may or may not be real, that his health has gone down, that his blood oxygen levels were very low, and that he had a fever. So they sent him to Walter Reed. And I had a lot of people, all of my friends on Facebook, going, oh, that's a BS tweet. That's just the media trying to manipulate, make people think that he's worse than he really is, that we really need to have, he can't govern right now. We need to get him out of here. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's probably right. They're just trying to make it look like Trump's weak. Well, on Sunday, the Trump campaign senior advisor, Steve Cortez, he went on Fox News and he kind of confirmed it. Now, on Sunday, he said he's doing well. We spoke to the president yesterday, we meaning the senior campaign staff. He was as upbeat and assertive as he's ever been. But now on Saturday, Mark Meadows, who's the White House chief of staff, was on Justice with Judge Jeanine. He said Saturday that the president was experiencing symptoms that had his staff real concerned. That included a fever and low blood oxygen levels. So it goes to prove that you really have to dig into what you're looking at, media-wise. All these stories. Everybody was quick to denounce Sarah Cook's tweet that the staff was very concerned that President Trump is not doing well. And everybody said, that's not the case. That's just a facade. Well, it's been confirmed. He was not doing well. Now, the great news is that whatever the doctors are giving him, and I've heard it could either be remdesivir or hydroxychloroquine, either one of those seem to be doing, in Donald Trump and his physician's words, miraculous. It's giving him miraculous results. He no longer has a fever. His blood oxygen levels are much better, and that is great to hear. You know, I wish the best for Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, and that's one thing I'm kind of curious about is, how's Melania doing? You'd never hear about that. She was experiencing mild symptoms in the beginning. When this was tweeted out originally, Donald Trump was asymptomatic. Melania was experiencing mild symptoms. We don't hear anything, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I really don't. But regardless, I wish a speedy recovery, wish the best, praying for Donald Trump and Melania Trump and everybody else that has COVID. I mean, again, I received so many emails from so many people after Thursday. Oh, hey, doesn't this prove you're a hoax, Tom? Hey, COVID is real, Tom. Your president's got it. And again, I hate having to do this. I hate having to repeat myself because I think I'm making myself pretty clear. But obviously, people are only hearing what they want to hear. I'm going to tell you right now, I never, ever, 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 ever said that COVID was not real. COVID is real. It is a novel strain of the coronavirus. It's out there. My issue is, after doing the research, putting in the time, looking at the numbers, it is fabricated to the point where the number of deaths it has been causing, the number of positives it has been causing. Let's just put into perspective. The Detroit Lions are supposed to be playing the New Orleans Saints today. One of the New Orleans Saints tested positive for coronavirus, so therefore they tested the team. Three other players tested positive. They went back and tested them the next day. Every single one of them tested negative. It's a false positive. But here's the problem. That false positive stays on the record as a positive test. So that those four individuals on the New Orleans Saints, they are going to be listed as positive COVID patients, even though it was a false positive. And that's my issue. If it's really a pandemic and it's really as bad as it's being made out to be, why do you have to fudge the numbers? Why increase the number of deaths? Why make these hospitals or have these hospitals, when somebody dies, put COVID as a cause? It doesn't matter if they died of a heart attack. It doesn't matter if they died in a car accident. It doesn't matter if they died of cancer. Put COVID on there. Because a lot of people, and again, I'll say this, when the CDC announced that, well, you know, we're going through our records, there's not as many people that died of COVID as we thought. They were just underlying conditions. A lot of people were saying, well, if you have a heart condition and you get COVID, and that heart condition is exacerbated by the COVID, you died of COVID. No, that's not the case. If you have a heart condition and you die of the flu, or you contract the flu and it makes your heart condition worse, never before were you told you died of the flu. You died of that heart condition. It's only during COVID time that those rules have changed. Using their same logic, you could say that a person who was killed in an automobile accident but had COVID in their system, that same logic applies that means that person died of COVID because COVID was the cause of their automobile accident. And it just makes no sense. If you have leukemia and you contract coronavirus, the virus may make your symptoms worse, but it's not going to be coronavirus that kills you. It's going to be the leukemia. And it's just that faulty thinking that's made this thing blow up. And now, again, I'll say, if it's really a pandemic does not need numbers manipulated to make it seem worse than it really is. It's as simple as that. But that's where we are on this planet today. We have I'm not going to call it a false pandemic, but we have a media, politically driven pandemic. It's true. Again, I'm going to make this very, very, very clear. Never have I said, never will I say that COVID-19 is not real. A lot of people say that I said it's a hoax. I said it's just a fake. I've never said that. Never have, never will. It is out there. What I'm saying is, let's look at the numbers. Let's look at what it is. Let's look at the mortality rate. Let's look at the infection rate and look at it with truthful eyes and truthful numbers. I mean, don't just label everybody that comes in as COVID. Don't label everybody that dies of COVID. I mean, if somebody were to actually go through and look at the death certificates of all 208,000 Americans that died of quote-unquote COVID, there is probably half to three-quarters of those that have underlying conditions, if not more. And those underlying conditions may have been exacerbated by the coronavirus, but it's not the coronavirus that killed them. It was the previously underlying condition that they had. And it would take that pandemic number, that pandemic, this whole fear campaign, which, I'll call it how it is. I was a part of in the first month or two. I wouldn't even go that far, the first month. But regardless, it would take that pandemic number and drop it to basically numbers that the flu would match or beat every year. And that brings us to another example. What happens when the flu hits this year? And the flu will hit. Is it going to be the flu? Are we going to have a record low number of flu cases this year because everybody's going to be diagnosed with COVID? Are some of these uptick of COVID cases around the country, are they attributed to just being the plain old flu, influenza A or influenza B? And these hospitals, well, let's be honest, they were not doing elective surgeries. They were not receiving patients into the hospital. They need money. So, well, let's just call this COVID. I mean, it sounds crazy, but in this day and age, is it? I don't think so. So anyway, going off topic again, but Donald Trump has the coronavirus. And during this week, I received a ton of emails in my inbox at ghostseeker4@charter.net. A lot of them wanted to know my opinion on what do I think of Trump contracting the coronavirus, but there were so many emails just chastising me and congratulating basically themselves because Donald Trump got the coronavirus. I'm not going to read them. Let's just paraphrase some of them. You know, haha, the man got what he deserved. I hope he dies. It's just horrible, horrible. This is the left of today, ladies and gentlemen. The left of today, the celebrities. Now, I got to hand it to some people. Some celebrities, you know, they took the high ground. And they said, I hate the way you handled this, but, you know, I pray for your speedy recovery. Alyssa Milano, who was crazy as anything, you know, she said she had the coronavirus. She said she wouldn't wish it on her worst enemy. I don't know, kind of a shot against Donald Trump. But you know what? Hey, it was a heartfelt sentiment that not a lot of people were saying. Chris Rock goes on Saturday Night Live last night and wants to talk about the elephant in the room and Donald Trump having the coronavirus. And then goes on to his monologue where he just tears apart Donald Trump and the fact that it's his fault and, you know, we don't need a president anymore. This is a good reason why we don't need a president. It's just stupid stuff like that. Let's talk about Obama's former digital security. She worked in the Office of Digital Security for Obama. She was the national spokeswoman for Hillary's 2016 presidential campaign. Zara Rahim, she tweeted, and it's since been deleted, "It's been against my moral identity to tweet this for the past 4 years, but I hope he dies." So first off, she has the gall to go out there and say, "It's been against my moral identity." If you tweet something like this about the president of the United States, but regardless of who it is, if you tweet this about anybody, that you have no moral identity. Your moral identity is in the sewer. What I really enjoy about this is how Twitter lets this stuff go out. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. But Donald Trump says something, any conservative that goes on Twitter and tweets something that Twitter deems offensive because it's a conservative view, well, they're banning them from Twitter. They're just taking away their page. They can't get to it anymore. It's crazy that this stuff goes on. But let's look at some of what these celebrities said. Rapper, and I use that word lightly, Cardi B, who is a... Cardi B is... She's a piece of work. Says, "Betchawana," which is the name of one of her songs, "wear a mask right now." So let's shamelessly promote one of our songs when the president of the United States has fallen ill. Unbelievable. Ava DuVernay, I have no idea who that is. "By the light of tonight's harvest moon, new season begins." Oh, let's see. We've got Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel thought it would be fun to make fun of the situation. He said, well, he imagined how Mike Pence would be reacting to the news. And Jimmy Kimmel tweeted, "Does anyone know why Mike Pence is running around in circles throwing little pieces of Wonder Bread in the air?" It unbelievable. Patton Oswalt, who, you know, I liked him for a while because he was on one of my favorite shows of all time, Mystery Science Theater 3000, when it was redone by Netflix. This guy's sick. This guy's a pedophile, and he's not afraid to say it. He comes out and says Giuliani's going to lose his mind when he finds out Trump has the COVID. Padma Lakshmi, apparently she's a Bollywood actress. I don't know. I've never heard of her. She went on and said, "I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask." And she was referring to Trump, what Trump said to Biden during the debate. So now Trump has the coronavirus, and she thinks, oh, that's ironic. Billy Eichner, Republicans announced they were replacing RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 1 hour after it was announced that she died. "I wouldn't worry much about being nice." First off, Billy, that's a complete and utter lie. This is what bothers me. Twitter will let this, which is a complete and utter lie. The Republicans did not announce they were replacing her 1 hour after she died. It's just not true. The Republicans, I think, gave her a great bit of respect and didn't do anything. But you know what? That's not going to work in the world of the Democrats, in the world of Twitter. Twitter's going to let that fly. But if I was to go out there and counter that and fact check it, well, my page would get banned, which is really not a bad thing because I hate Twitter. So, Quinta Brunson, whoever that is, who wrote The Season of America? I don't know. Chris Redd goes on Twitter. "COVID is a hoax," he said. "COVID will go soon," he said. "White supremacy should stand by," and then boom, COVID, they said. I mean, really, we're going to bring race into this? And then let's see, Jeffrey Wright comes out. "Trump contracting COVID changes nothing about his character. He's sick now. He was sick before. Vote him out." Dan Rather, who is a joke. "This virus is real. It is contagious. It is deadly. Wear a mask. Social distance. Wash your hands. Do not be an idiot." Rosanna Arquette, who has a picture of Ruth Bader Ginsburg as her Twitter picture. "October. Surprise." Let's see, John Favreau, "Praying for the health of the many people that the president and his staff carelessly and in some cases knowingly exposed to a deadly virus." So you really think, John, that the president of the United States knew he had coronavirus and just said, "Hey, come here, shake my hand, give me a kiss." Again, it's stupid lies like this that everybody is letting go. There has to be something done about this. You can't just slander somebody without any proof. Well, yay, Tom, there is something. It's called slander. We need to call them out for it. And then, oh, yes, we'll end it with Bette Midler. Oh, Bette, you're a piece of... she's a piece of work. Bette Midler, "Looks like RBG argued her first case before God successfully." How much of a lack of soul do you have to have? This is a father. This is a grandfather and a grandmother and a stepmother. That there are people all around this country in their immediate family that love them dearly. And you want to mock this man. I don't care how you feel about his politics. I don't care how you feel about him in general. You don't mock this man for contracting the coronavirus. This is the epitome of what the Democrat Party is about. They have no care, no desire to be cordial. They will take power any way they can. Bette Midler, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, Sarah Silverman, Patton Oswalt, Jimmy Kimmel, you name it. George Clooney, all of these idiots in Hollywood that really truly think that we really care what they think. And the problem is, there are people out there that will, you know, if George Clooney says Donald Trump's an idiot, they're going to believe everything he says. If Joy Behar gets on The View and says, I have proof that Donald Trump is an alien, he comes from the planet Venus, and he's here to destroy the planet, we need to vote him out. There are people out there that will believe everything she says because she's a celebrity. Here is what is wrong with America right now. Actually, you could say the world. We value celebrities and athletes way, way too much. We take the opinions of these actors, these politicians, and these athletes who have no clue what it's like to be a normal American. They're making millions and millions and million dollars a year, living in mansions. They have drivers, they have maids, they have chefs, they have everything they could possibly ever want. And we are listening to these idiots tell us how we should live our lives, how the Republicans are horrible because they don't want you to succeed. They want to keep you down. The free market is horrible. But it's the free market that gave them what they have. That's what people don't realize. If we become a socialist nation, these actors and actresses, they're nothing. They won't make nearly what they want, what they're making now. And I don't know if it's they don't realize it or they've been told, hey, if you promote this agenda, if you help promote this socialist agenda, we'll give you a high-ranking position in the government, and you'll be set for life. Meanwhile, the rest of us are trying to eat our cats and dogs to survive, but it doesn't matter. That is what is wrong with America, and it's wrong with the world. We value athletes, and we value these Hollywood elites way too much, and they could care two shits about us, honestly. They don't care about us one way or another. The only time they care about us is when we disagree with them, and then, you know what? We're horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible people who have no concern for human life when, let's be honest, the direct opposite is true. If you're a Democrat, you really don't care about human life because you're the party that wants to go around and kill babies full term after they're born, but the same party that says Black Lives Matter, except if you're a 9-month-old baby coming out of a vagina and the mom doesn't want you. Well, at that point, your life doesn't matter. The mother says you can die. That is the hypocrisy of the left. They value your life, but they want to hold you down by keeping you on government assistance. So you're just scraping by your whole life. Your kids, they are scraping by their whole life. Your grandkids, as they grow up, they're scraping by their whole life. But you're on the government dollar, and that means the Democrats are in control. Where if you're a Republican, you can do well. If you work hard, if you're innovative, you have every chance in the world to do well. But the Democrats think that's not fair. They think if you work hard and make more money, you should be able to share that, or you should share that with those of them who don't work, who aren't innovative, that don't have any creative bone in their body. They may have creative bones, but they don't want to use them because they're living off the government. Well, they've realized that the government is not paying them well enough. They still don't want to work, so they want to take yours and my money.
Yeah, that's a great role model, Democrat Party.
Okay, so we're going to end this segment here, and I want to end the segment by simply saying to the President, Melania, I offer you my prayers for a speedy and safe recovery. To those of you who are dealing with coronavirus, same goes to you, prayers and thoughts for a speedy recovery. Those that have lost some to COVID, my deepest sympathies. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
You came 5 weeks early, and I wasn't ready. But looking back, I knew I never would be. Sometimes life has a way of changing your story and bending your shape to make you fit in your place. No, I don't know what I'm doing. The more is I go through it.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
Are back, and this week in Michigan, what has been long overdue actually happened. This week, I think it was Friday. Friday in Michigan, the Michigan Supreme Court announced that they have ruled against Governor Whitmer and her executive orders. Now, I want to clear some things up. I have a huge, huge Michigan contingent of listeners. And I want to set my listeners straight. And for those of you in other states and in other countries, this may apply to you too, because Michigan is the first court to say these are unconstitutional. You can't do these. But I want to set something straight, because there's a lot of talk that this whole thing goes bye-bye now. And that's not true. From everything I can see and I can read, we basically go back to April 30th. Anything beyond April 30th is null and void. In a 4-3 decision, the justices ruled that she had lacked the legal basis to issue orders and maintain the coronavirus state of emergency since April 30th. Now, the Michigan legislature declined to approve an extension of the emergency declaration past April 30th. They voted to extend it 28 days twice. So that means those were legally implemented. So anything that was legally implemented between March, I believe it was 15th, and April 30th is good. Now, Whitmer had been claiming authority from the 1945 Emergency Powers of the Governor Act, but the Supreme Court ruled Friday that the law is unconstitutional. Here in Michigan, we have had a petition drive to basically remove her of those powers from that unconstitutional act. That act is unconstitutional. It was then, it is now, according to the Michigan Constitution. But she still continues to fall back on that 1945 act. Well, there was a petition drive, and it's called Open Up Michigan, that basically wanted to strip her of her powers, which basically the Supreme Court just did. But it needed 300,000 signatures in order to be put forth. Well, they received 598,000 signatures and then just stopped, because A, they just about doubled the amount of signatures they needed, and they did it in record time. That tells you everything you need to know about the authoritarianism that is going on in this state. This governor has no qualms about doing whatever the hell she wants. And damn you, If you fight against her. I'm doing what I want. That is her motto. So what do you think Governor Whitmer did when this verdict came down? Well, and this is where I've had my whole problem with what she does. A lot of people said I'm being selfish. I don't care about anybody else. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist because you just think it's government control, Thomas, to make us safe. Sorry. I saw the writing on the wall, and I see it now. So the Supreme Court ruled 4-3 that she has grossly overstepped her authority in using the 1945 Emergency Powers Governor Act. She comes out and says she plans to continue many orders beyond 21 days. And I use quotes, under alternate sources of authority that were not at issue in today's ruling. This is a woman who needs power. The Supreme Court of Michigan just came out and said, look, lady, you went way above and beyond what you are legally able to do. So we're revoking that from you. You are not able to do anything else. And everything you have done since April 30th is null and void. What does she do? Instead of saying, okay, well, we'll have to go about this bipartisan. We'll have to work together to get this done. No, she doesn't even bring that up. She says, well, under alternative sources of authority that were not at issue in today's ruling, in other words, because of loopholes in their ruling, I'm going to continue what I'm doing. You tell me that that's not an authoritative government. You tell me that's not a dictator wannabe that wants to control you at every cost. Whitmer also said her actions during the coronavirus pandemic were all designed to protect senior citizens, small businesses, and first responders. Now that right there is the biggest pile of crap I've ever heard. She is one of five governors who put COVID-positive patients into nursing homes. She is one of five governors to do so. She knew the consequences of putting COVID-positive patients into. And listen, this is a governor that says, I base my decisions on science and facts. If that's the case, the science and facts have proven to you, Governor, that the elderly are very susceptible to the coronavirus. But you put COVID-positive patients in with non-COVID-positive patients in an elderly care facility, and those people ended up contracting COVID, and they died because of it. You are not protecting the senior citizens. You're not protecting the small businesses. How many small businesses in this state have gone under because you refuse to open them up? This is the biggest crock of you-know-what. And I'm going to, let me stop here. Apparently, the listeners of the Paranormal Patriot really love it when I lose my mind, because last week's show went through the roof and I had so many emails saying, oh my gosh, Tom, that was awesome. Keep it up. Apparently, you guys love it when I lose my mind and go crazy. Well, I'm starting to do it now. So back to the segment at hand. This is a big pile of crap. You were not here to protect the senior citizens. You killed senior citizens. You need to be held responsible for that. The Democrats in this state are still after Rick Snyder, the former Republican governor of this state, for the Flint water crisis. If you look at the facts of the Flint water crisis, you will realize it's not all on Governor Snyder's shoulders. The Democrats will say it is, but the Flint City Council voted prior to even Governor Snyder getting involved with this to use water from the Detroit River instead of the Flint River. And they used pipes. They flowed that water through pipes that they knew were ancient, that they knew needed to be replaced because they were filled with lead. But nobody says anything about that. Everybody thinks of Rick Snyder as the man that killed Flint. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the citizens, the city council of Flint, that killed Flint. Did Governor Snyder do what he should have to step up and take care of the situation? No, but he did not cause that situation. Governor Whitmer here caused the death of thousands of elderly citizens of this state by putting COVID-positive patients into those nursing homes and having those nurses go into that area where the COVID-positive patients were, and then go and have them in contact with those that aren't COVID-positive. Oh, and lo and behold, those patients became COVID-positive, and therefore they died. This is the lunacy. And there are people that look at her and say, you did everything you could, Governor Whitmer. No, you didn't. You killed people. You killed elderly people. You destroyed businesses and therefore destroyed families and destroyed lives by your draconian, your implementation of a complete and utter shutdown. Now, here is my biggest issue. Right now, we in Michigan, according to the quote-unquote numbers, and we'll just use these numbers because that's what she uses, we're going to use these numbers as fact. Right now in Michigan, we're averaging about 700 to 800 new cases a day, which rivals where we were in late March, early April, at the peak of the coronavirus pandemic here in the state of Michigan. And Michigan was hit, was one of the harder hit states in the union because of the policies that our governor implemented. But we are 700 to 800 cases a day, which is pretty bad, according to Governor Whitmer. If you look back in March and April, when we were doing 700 to 800 cases a day, she was closing stuff down left and right. Here is where my just utter confusion of this whole pandemic response comes into play. Back in March and April, when there were 800 cases a day, she was closing businesses. She was closing schools. Everything was shut down unless you were essential. Everything. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't congregate with any people. But now, we're in October. We have 800 cases a day rising. She's opening up bars. She's opening up theaters. She's opening up bowling alleys. She's allowing schools to be open. She's allowing school sports to be played. What's the difference? It's kind of like a National Hockey League playoff game. I'm a huge hockey fan, and I watch hockey regular season through the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I can tell you, you watch the regular season, and there's a lot of holding, a lot of interference, a lot of hooking that are being called penalties during the regular season. But you get into the playoffs, and all of a sudden, all that goes away. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. If it's a penalty in the regular season, it's a penalty in the playoffs. It's as simple as that. During the Stanley Cup Finals in overtime, the Dallas Stars were really upset because the referee called a penalty, and they said, well, this is the playoffs. You don't call that. Well, if it's a penalty in the regular season, it's a penalty in the playoffs. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. And this is my thing. It's like right now the election's coming up. We're in the playoffs. And therefore, we got to open everything up. We got to get things going now. So we're going to open up the bars. We're going to open up the restaurants. We're going to open up bowling alleys. We're going to make sure people can congregate more. But the numbers are the same as they were in March and April. So what's the difference? Nothing. There's no difference. If you're telling me, if you're going by science and facts, and the numbers in March and April were 800 cases a day, and you were shutting things down, saying, we've got to do this. We've got to wear a mask. We've got to shut this thing down. And then we move to October, and we have 800 cases. And you're like, well, we're going to open up here. We're going to open up here. We're going to open up here. Tell me the logic behind that. Tell me the reasoning behind that. And that is what everybody was really, truly upset about. There is no rhyme or reason to Governor Whitmer's and any other Democratic governors. There's no rhyme or reason to their logic, to what they're doing. It's almost as if it's a punishment that we are being bad kids and we're being sent to our room. You know, when this pandemic first started, I mentioned that anybody living in the state, if you had a second home or a summer cottage, because it was March, April, May, it was time people were starting to go up north, you had to pick and choose where you were going to stay. If you decided to go up to your cottage or your second home up north, you couldn't come back down because of fear of coronavirus. But if you lived in Chicago, which was a huge coronavirus hotspot, and you had a place in the UP or the northern lower peninsula of Michigan, you could travel back and forth left and right. People were like, well, why is that? How does that work? I live in this state. I can only go one way. Somebody that comes from out of state from a hot zone, they can come and go as they please. Or we had the example of you can take a boat out on the water, but it can't be a motorized boat. It has to be a rowboat. What's the difference? A boat is a boat is a boat. You are around nobody when you're in a boat. And people were just upset because they could not understand what she was implementing and why she was implementing it. And that's where we are today. The Supreme Court has ruled that she has way overstepped her bounds and using this unconstitutional 1945 Act that the Republicans have said all along, listen, this 1945 Act was superseded by an act in the 1960s that greatly reduced the ability of the governor to do exactly what she's doing for this very reason. But she keeps going back to that 1945 Act, acting as if the one that superseded it, that was placed into law in the 60s, didn't even exist. See, this is the type of power that she needs. She needs that power. So she comes out and says, well, my rules are going to be in effect for another 21 days. What do you think of that, huh? So here's my question. Let's say you're a criminal. You have just been found guilty of a crime that's going to send you to prison. Do you stand up and look at the judge and say, okay, judge, I'm going to go home for 21 days. Come get me after 21 days and I'll go to prison. No. They handcuff you right there and they send you to jail. Where does she think that she has another 21 days of power? It's in her head. It's in her head. And the beauty of it is the Democrats in the state are just like, oh, Governor Whitmer, please, please save us. You have to do this. You have to save us. This is unconstitutional what they're doing. No. It's unconstitutional what she was doing. So now in Michigan, we are in a total upheaval. I've seen people walking into stores without masks. Like the other day, I went into Walmart. I had to get something from Walmart, and they have security guard there. And, you know, I'm still wearing a mask just because I'm not going to be that guy, and I hate doing it. But there was somebody not wearing a mask, and this was Saturday. And the security guard says, whoa, hold on. Nope, get out. Can't wear a mask. Can't come in. And the guy goes, whoa, hold on. That was shot down. Her executive rulings are over. Her power is gone. I can do whatever I want. This is a free state again. And the security guard's like, what? He didn't know about it. I mean, honestly, if you are there to uphold a mandate, I would expect you to be able to know that the mandate was overridden. But again, there are so many people, and, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't even know if I should wear a mask anymore. I don't want to wear a mask, but do I have to? Am I going to get fined? All of these fines that people were given, Tom Mankey, all that crap he went through, thrown out the window. Every fine that everyone got after April 30th is contestable in court now. Basically, they don't have to pay it because the Supreme Court said, no, you went way above and beyond what you were able to do. She was basically abusing her power. And I'm getting so many messages and so many things on my Facebook that says, Tom, do we need to wear masks now? And I'm responding with a definitive, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. If I'm going to a store until I get definitive proof that I'm not going to get that store in trouble, I'm wearing it. I mean, I'll wear it when I walk in. It comes off when I go on, when I'm in the store. You know, years ago, before my wife got sick, she worked at Walmart part-time just for a little extra money, and I got to know a lot of the people there, and I was talking to one of the managers there last week, and I said, hey, how's this whole mask thing going? Doesn't it suck? And he says, oh, man, it is horrible. You got to wear this thing all day, but that's not even the worst of it. You know what the worst part is? Is the people coming up to me wanting me to call the police for people who don't wear masks in here. I don't care if you wear a mask. If I'm wearing a mask, I'm safe, I guess. But it's the people that come up and make it their own business to try and get these people that don't wear masks or have it under their nose, they want to get them arrested and thrown in jail. He said, I spend half of my time trying to talk people out of doing it. This is what it is. It's Nazi Germany. It's people wanting to turn in their neighbors, their friends, their family for not abiding by an unconstitutional mandate that has been proven to be unconstitutional. You know, on a Facebook post, we have all of our media out here is completely liberal. And on Facebook, I subscribe to this one thing because I want to see the responses that the liberals are giving. And apparently a lot of people are doing what I do because there's a lot of Republican responses. But the question was, you know,
Governor Whitmer has been defeated by the Supreme Court. Do we still have to wear a mask? And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you have to wear a mask. You're selfish if you don't. And my question was, listen, we have a mask mandate here. If masks were the answer, why are the cases rising 800 a day? Shouldn't they be going down if masks work? And I said, look, if you're wearing a mask, you should be safe. It's just like vaccines. If your kid's vaccinated and my kid's not vaccinated, why are you concerned that my kid's not vaccinated? Because if my kid gets the whooping cough or the measles, your kid's vaccinated against it, so your kid's going to be safe. Why are you concerned about what I do with my family? Same thing. If you're wearing a mask, you're safe. You've got that protection, supposedly. Why are you concerned if I'm wearing a mask? Well, if two people wear a mask, that greatly reduces the chance. No, because most of the people that are wearing masks are wearing cloth masks or these spandex neck warmer masks, which is what I wear, or a bandana, which our illustrious governor wore as she was breaking her own policies by going arm in arm with BLM. I mean, that's the ridiculousness that we are dealing with here in the state of Michigan. Our governor says you have to social distance. I will fine you if you won't social distance. But yet she goes out and protests arm in arm with Black Lives Matter in a bandana. That serves no purpose whatsoever. Face shields, they don't do anything. They stop if you sneeze, it stops the sputum or whatever the hell you call it from going forward. But you're still breathing in everything. Just like these cloth and spandex masks. They don't block anything. You're just doing something to appease the Karens out in the world that want you to wear a mask. But nobody could answer. The only one that answered said, well, Tom, the reason that we're still getting high cases is because nobody's wearing a mask. And I said, so you're telling me nobody's wearing a mask going shopping, going to the store, going into businesses? Because honestly, you can't do it unless you wear a mask. So people are wearing masks. People are gathering in social distancing. That's not going to attribute to 800 rising cases. First off, I don't believe at all that there's 800 cases a day in Michigan. I just don't. The UP, the governor has actually taken the UP from 4 to 3, 5 being the best, or 5 everything's open. The Upper Peninsula was at a 4, meaning everything's just about there. She went ahead and put them to a 3 because of the alarmingly rising cases in the UP. If you've been in the UP, you realize there's not a lot of people. You'll have people in Marquette and Hancock and Sault Ste. Marie. But other than that, it's just not, I mean, everything's wide open. It's God's country up there. And the people in the UP, I've heard from a lot of my listeners in the UP, they are pissed because they're like, I don't know where she's getting these numbers. Nobody has coronavirus out here. And again, it is a power trip. That is all she wants, is to maintain power. And for those of you who say that is not true, listen to her response after the Supreme Court judgment. Well, I have ways of having power for 21 more days, and I'm going to use it. That was basically her response, paraphrased. I found loopholes that I can use to make myself still have power, to make sure I still have power. There's no denying what she said. She's pissed off that the Supreme Court just basically threw out her power, and she has no power anymore. She can't control us anymore is essentially what it is. And this is exactly what my biggest concern was, is it wasn't the mask mandate. It wasn't the shutdown of the businesses, although that really bothered me. It was the fact that she had to have power. And everybody thought I was so crazy when I said she just wants power. She's got to have power. She had a taste of it through the first 28 days, and she had to have more because she can do whatever she wants. So she'll shut down those small businesses. She'll kill those businesses. She'll destroy those families. Divorce and suicide are at an all-time high in the state of Michigan.
People have lost businesses. People that have had businesses for generations are gone. They can't do it anymore. She put COVID-positive patients into nursing homes with patients that were susceptible to COVID but yet had not contracted it. Knowingly put them in there. But yet she wants to go out and said, my main focus was helping and protecting the small businesses and the first responders and the elderly. No, it wasn't. Your first responsibility was you gaining power. You got power and you wanted to keep it. Now the Supreme Court has said, no, you cannot have that power. That power is not yours to have. The power belongs to the people. We in Michigan had a petition to remove her of those powers, and we didn't have to. And I really truly think that when the Supreme Court saw that in record time, the citizens of this state doubled the amount of signatures needed to strip her of her powers, that's when they took notice. I really, truly do. I mean, honestly, I don't see any chance, any way in God's green earth that this woman gets reelected. There's no way. You have your Democrats out there, and they're crazy. They're just, oh, thank you for your support and your love, Governor Whitmer. Thank you for all you do in keeping us safe. These are the people that will turn you in. If it's your neighbor who has the Biden-Harris, who has the Governor Whitmer sign in their yard, if they have a Biden-Harris or a I support our governor sign in their yard, then you know you better watch what they do. You better watch what you do around them, because those are the people that are going to call the police, call the state, turn you in. God help us if we have red flag laws in this state, because those are the people that are going to turn you in and just say, hey, I think this guy's a threat. And then that makes your life a living hell. Watch those people. I'm watching mine. I know who I need to watch in my neighborhood. I'm having a big Halloween party this year, and I was a little worried because of all her rules, but it looks like those rules are gone bye-bye. And, you know, I was worried about, gosh, what if I have this party and somebody contracts coronavirus? How am I going to feel? But then again, I think to myself, I've had these parties for 4 years. This is 5 years now that I've had a huge Halloween party every year. I wasn't worried about somebody contracting the flu. Why should I be worried about this? Because that is all this is a bad case of the flu. We've all had the flu. Were we walking around last year when the flu was so bad in September, October, November, December? Were we walking around wearing masks? No. What the hell's the difference now? Why are we making this coronavirus out to be so bad? Yes, it is a highly contagious illness, but it's an illness. Everybody gets sick. It's going to happen. There's no stopping it. You know, I saw a post this week. How do we stop the coronavirus? A vaccine? Well, a vaccine isn't going to be available anytime soon, and a lot of people are really worried about it. Okay, how about herd immunity? Their response was, well, that means everybody gets it. Yes, everybody gets the flu, too. Everybody gets a cold. A lot of people get pneumonia, but they survive, and they go on, and they live productive lives. I wasn't really thinking about anybody at that party coming in contact with somebody that was already sick. Why should I do it now? Well, the only reason is it's been just absolutely blasted into my brain that you need to social distance. I'm a big fan of herd immunity. That's what stopped the Spanish flu. Everybody just got immune to it. That's what we can do with coronavirus. But not till after the election. Alrighty. That'll be the show this week. Next week, Benny, barring any unforeseen problem on the political point of view, we're going to have, I've got 3 weeks, so essentially 2 weeks of Halloween-related stuff. I know what I'm going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Salem witch trials, and then I had a listener clue me into a great topic, the Hungarian vampire, Bela Kiss. We're going to talk about him and his story. It's going to be great listening, Salem witch trials and the Hungarian vampire. So you have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. I hope you enjoyed this show. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net with any questions, concerns, comments. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. I will talk to you next week. But you take your time.